Hey everybody, welcome to the Nexus, your Blizzard Games News podcast for everything under the sun in the gaming world of Blizzard Entertainment. I'm your host, TJ Tyrant, and I'll be guiding you through this week's news, giving my take on how it all will affect the franchises and the gaming world as a whole, as we'll see. Definitely with this Overwatch leak news that we're going to be discussing. But thank you guys for joining me on the those of you on the live stream. Really appreciate you guys coming out. This is something a little nerve-wracking for me, a little different. I'm used to doing podcasting with other people and having to fill this space and let there be pauses so I can breathe and stuff like that. It's going to be a learning experience, but thank you guys for coming along with me. I'm going to have to change this line because Garrett is going to hate me for this. Let's get into the Nexus. But yeah, here we go. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 0, pilot episode of my new podcast venture that's a little overambitious in trying to cover everything we can in the world of Blizzard Entertainment in hopefully under an hour. I have no idea how long this is going to go. I've typed up a whole bunch of stuff. I've typed up all that I want to say, everything that I want to talk about in this episode. We're not even going to cover absolutely everything, but we're covering kind of the top level stuff to get you up to speed on everything Blizzard related. Anyways, Colzer podcasts are very simple. Get you up to, like I just said, get you up to speed on everything in the past week that's happened in the world of Blizzard games and how it might affect your gameplay sessions in the coming week. The plan is to release these Monday mornings each week so we can all start off the week with that new energy from the news, knowing what to look forward to in our gaming sessions to come forward. We'll also be exploring some of the esports in these franchises as well, because if you know me, you know that I am a huge esports fan and I absolutely love esports. So esports will be covered going forward as well. And if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're interested in esports as well, or at least mildly curious about them. Maybe I can get your pique your interest and get you to check out some of these competitive games in the world of Blizzard. So for those of you, though, really quickly, an intro about myself. Those of you who do not know who I am, or maybe like a little refresher on my background in gaming and specifically Blizzard games, we're going to try to do a quick rundown rule as quickly as we can. But basically, I've been a gamer my whole life, starting with the NES and Super Mario Brothers. But if we fast forward a little bit, let's get to the Blizzard stuff. And we fast forward to high school, playing more PC games, reading a lot of PC Gamer all the time, keeping up on PC gaming news just all the time. The fateful day does come up, though, when I get to go to CompUSA with my uncle, and he takes me there, and this game called StarCraft had just come out. And it was all over the store. The displays were all showing copies of the game. The demo computers had it on there. And so I tried it out. And I was like, okay, this is a little bit like Warcraft, but this is cool. And so my uncle decided to, for some reason, this is not something he would typically do, but decided to go ahead and let me buy me a game. So, of course, I picked StarCraft. And little did I know that would really have a big impact into my path in into content creation, esports, and game communities as a whole. Simply put, I would go on to write about StarCraft esports after discovering a world in South Korea where people were playing this game professionally. It was insane. This was the early 2000s. And they were on another level than everybody else. Just how they were playing, how they were broadcasting the game, and everything else that was set up for them. I mean, just how amazing was that? And after years of writing about StarCraft, World of Warcraft came out. Became a new passion of mine. And Ghosty Gamers, which I was writing for at the time, they shifted to including World of Warcraft. So I was doing a little bit of double duty, doing World of Warcraft and StarCraft, writing about both. Eventually, I moved on to Stratix, which is another Blizzard-focused or a community-focused gaming site, and they had a Warcraft section. And so I really dug into writing for that. And also, one of my favorite pieces I wrote for that was there were these cosplayers at Anime Expo, and they were all in World of Warcraft cosplay. And this one woman I met, Cynthia, actually ended up becoming a really good friend of mine. We've kept up, and when we see each other at conventions, it's always a good time catching up with each other. And she's a super talented cosplayer. Forget her cosplay name, though. This is what happens. I start randomly on stuff that I don't put in the show notes, and then I can't help people out with follows and stuff. But Cynthia, we'll put you in the show notes. And yeah, that was one of my favorite articles that I wrote for Stratix at the time. Eventually, this spun off into another Blizzard-focused fan site. And that broke off into what is known as BlizzPro today with my friend JR. If you've been watching my streams, especially the D&D ones lately, you'll know who JR is. And that JR is has been a part of the Blizzard fan community for a long time. And BlizzPro has been really awesome and a really great experience. And I still will do stuff for them, but I wanted to do my own thing here for a little bit, try that out. But going back a little bit from current day, during all of this stuff with BlizzPro and everything, Heroes of the Storm came out and became my favorite game almost instantly. Like, I don't know what it was. I think it was just because I love the universe of Blizzard games so much and seeing them clash. And when it was first announced, it was Blizzard Dota, there was Blizzard All-Stars, and played those every BlizzCon. That was the highlight of every single BlizzCon. I've seen, okay, where is this game going? What's it going to do? And initially it was going to be just a mod for StarCraft 2, which that's fine. That's cool. I mean, that's following the Dota model of creating these. And so that came out, the cinematic. If you still haven't seen it for some reason, be sure to check out the Heroes of Storm cinematic, the original one that they announced when they announced it. I think BlizzCon 2013, 2014 maybe. But anyways, that was really cool because you see Diablo fighting Rainer. You see Arthas fighting Nova. It's just this crazy mishmash of Blizzard's best characters all fighting each other. And it's still a cool game today. And we'll talk about that more in the Heroes segment. But Heroes is where I really took the community aspect really to heart into much greater effect than any of the other Blizzard games had before. I started casting amateur and professional competitive play, covered multiple events for BlizzPro, including I got invited to Blizzard to cover the Brawl system before that came out. I got invited to do some remote stuff with Blizzard to hear about Heroes and maps before they came out and be able to get articles up the second they get announced. It was really cool. I got to go to the Heroes of the Storm 2.0 event, which is one of the coolest things Blizzard has ever done. It's a little bit of what we're kind of looking back on it now, because it's like, oh, that's the last time most of us will see each other, because a lot of Heroes content creators are going to move on to other games or won't be attending BlizzCon, etc. So I mean, that is what it is. And then one more really quickly. In 2015, I got the incredible opportunity to work at BlizzCon as a talent manager for the StarCraft team, working with the likes of In Control, Todd, Tasteless, Artosis. And that was a freaking awesome year. I absolutely love that. And yeah, I really like Blizzard. I mean, the games and the way their communities bring, or the way their worlds bring people together, has been something that has really had a positive impact on my life. I know with the recent layoffs, it makes a lot of people hesitant to, I guess, or not wanting to support the company. And for me, it's more about the community than even the games themselves or the company. This is where my friends are, where we're playing games, and that's how it's going to be for a while, I think. And just to put it simply, passionate about Blizzard and the games and the content they release. Part of the thing about this show is I want to sprinkle in anecdotes and stories from my experience in these games into these new stories, make them a little more personal and relatable as we do cover them week to week. And every week, I think I said this earlier, but we might not be able to cover every single franchise, but when the big news hits, I will be here to cover it and make sure that you hear about it. And with that said, let's warp into the Nexus. And we are going to start things off in the World of Warcraft with the huge news of World of Warcraft this week being that they did announce the World of Warcraft Classic release date of August 27th. That will be August 26th in the U.S. due to time zones. And just like Battle for Azeroth, they are going to have a worldwide simultaneous launch at 3 p.m. Pacific on August 26th. Those of you in other regions or territories will definitely want to check out the World of Warcraft site for exact times in your region. Alongside that, we did have the release of a limited beta test with a level cap of 30, with viewership regularly breaking 30k on some of the biggest streamers like SodaPop and Asmongold. And I just checked those before I went live with the show, and they were still pulling in a ton of numbers for this game. It's going to be really interesting to see how this game pans out coming back into the mythos of World of Warcraft here 15 years later. Speaking of 15 years later, they are releasing another collection edition for Classic at $100, and almost immediately sold out everywhere. I got an insight tip that it was selling out pretty fast on the Blizzard Gear Store, so I snapped that up, thankfully. But if you're still looking to snag one, I would definitely keep an eye on a lot of these online retailers as they do potentially get more allotments, GameStop, Best Buy, Amazon, and those like. And if you haven't seen it yet, it comes with a really cool Ragnaros statue, and that is going to be very sought after, I think, as we see the excitement from just paying for not even the game, because the game comes with your subscription to World of Warcraft, and you don't have to pay for Classic again. Don't worry about that. You just have to pay for the monthly charge. So yeah, it's interesting to see how this will go. And time will truly tell if this is just a quick passing nostalgia trip down memory lane, or if this has the staying power to bring back. Many people have left the game since its huge peak of 12 million subscribers during Wrath of the Lich King. And from, I'm not in the beta currently, which is fine, not a big deal, but one of the best things from Classic that I can tell from just watching my friend's stream is that it forces you to work together and build that community on the server that a lot of Warcraft content creators have gone over the past few years. That has been a huge problem in modern WoW. And we really kind of see the nexus of the problem in Wrath of the Lich King, where really Wrath is, like, if you think about it on a deeper level, is like the absolute best of the game and the worst of the game, all of one expansion with a sweeping epic story, really, really excellent rating, and then one of the most controversial moves as far as game design has come into World of Warcraft, and that's looking for group. Because, I mean, today, say you buy the game today, you can solo all the way up to max level, 120, and you want to jump into some dungeons, it's super easy to do. You just queue into dungeons, hop in, hop out, and you really don't care who those other people are as long as they just get you through the content. And that is something that is sorely missing in modern WoW. You kind of have to... The game design brought the barrier to entry much lower in that respect. In that, if you want to have that community feeling, you definitely can still in-game. The Guild I raid with is... really fun to play with. I've met a lot of really great people with that, and I joined them in Legion because I was missing raiding. But you have to go out. You have to go out and intentionally go and do that. I mean, the thing is, you can experience all the content solo through the queuing system, and Cataclysm obviously took the looking for group even further with the final raid having a looking for a raid tier, which was obviously very reduced difficulty, reduced challenges for completing those raids, but it's something that's going to stick in game for a long time, and I don't know if they'll ever remove those, and it'll be interesting to see what the lack of those really does to create server identities and server and just groups that really play well together. I mean, PvP back in vanilla, it was like you knew who the really good players were on both your faction and the opposite faction. And now not quite as much, I would say, because of the amount of players that you're playing against, you probably won't see too many of them two or three more times unless you're up in the absolute higher MMR tiers. And that's something totally different. But anyways, I did, though, have the chance to play WoW Classic during the BlizzCon preview, and it didn't really scratch the itch for me, even though I thought it would. But after this beta has gone live, it actually got me very excited for the release of Classic in a few months. And I've been watching friend stream Classic, and being able to play WoW with new friends, and like I said, the WoW Classic just requires a level of coordination that you have to intentionally find in or intentionally seek out in modern WoW, but the design of vanilla forces you to work together, which is really interesting. And yeah, the possibility, though, I think the one thing that really gets me excited about Classic is the possibility of being able to clear the original Nex Rammus. It has me very, very giddy, because that was the one raid I didn't get to finish in Classic. We cleared C'Thun, I think, like the last day or last weekend before Burning Crusade came out. That was nuts. But then there's also a concern with that, because my thought process is now, oh my gosh, I remember how much time I spent playing Classic and how much time it was to get prepared for raids, how much time it was to do those raids. And I think it's a very valid concern for a lot of us who grew up, in a sense, with Classic. A lot of us have more responsibility in life, less time to game, and finding that balance is going to be the kind of metagame outside of the game for some. But even if I don't necessarily find the time to raid Nex Rammus, the ability to visit what Azeroth once was is going to be pretty exciting. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope you guys are. And even if you aren't, there's a lot of people that are, which is crazy, which is why I'm leading the show off with World of Warcraft. And yes, we are thinking maybe we could bring more people together to work on problems in Classic. But we're going to leave Classic behind a little bit. I'm sure there'll be more news next week as we get more of the beta waves coming in. But let's go to current day WoW, which is at 8.1.5, but we are looking very closely into the future with 8.2 on the PTR with raid testing for Ashara beginning and even more tidbits rolling out, including the Pathfinder Part 2 for players to get the ability to fly in the new zones, Kul Tiras and Zandalar. So I'm excited for that. I think it's about time for flying to get implemented. Maybe it would have been a little bit more welcome a few months ago, but it's kind of how the modern day cycle of WoW is, and I'm not too surprised by that. But yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about what I've done this week in World of Warcraft and in my gaming week. Battleboofers, the guild I'm part of over on Proudmoore Alliance, we were able to get ahead of the curve and down Heroic Jaina. Proudmoore in less than 10 pulls. I was expected to go that quickly, but that is, I think, a bit of a testament to how much the fight has been adjusted by Blizzard. Still a really enjoyable fight. Absolutely love the Jaina fight, irregardless of how easy it was for us. Mecha Torg was much, much more difficult for us. But yeah, that was a really exciting fight. I'm excited to see my Wednesday nights opened up a bit and maybe start leveling up my Void Elf Priest or look into raiding Crucible. I know a lot of guildies have talked about raiding Crucible, which I haven't even set foot into, even in LFR. So, yeah. That's going to be it for what we're talking about with Warcraft news this week. StarCraft, near and dear to my heart. Favorite game. As I talk about all these as they're my favorites, because they all are. But the big StarCraft news this week, they teased this a little bit last week, but they released a new co-op commander with Egon Stetman, the chief science advisor of Raynor's Raiders. But throughout the story of StarCraft 2, he did go a little bit crazy. And as his co-op commander shows, he is doing all sorts of fun stuff with his ego energy, adding the mech technology to Zerg units, almost making a hybrid of Protoss, Pylons, and Zerg creep as the mechanic for this new co-op commander, where it functions in the sense that it does restore health like creep and gives them a speed boost, but you can only perform certain actions within those. So that's how they're acting like the Pylons. Stetman looks to be a fantastic, fun addition to the co-op with a huge amount of hybrid abilities between both Zerg and Protoss. And just like other commanders, available for $5 alongside the announcer separately. So $5 a piece. Some really good content. Keep supporting StarCraft. And I'm serious. If you have not been able to try co-op yet, find a buddy and play co-op. It is super fun. I've not played nearly as much as I would like, but I'm going to find someone this week to play co-op with, because co-op is super fun in StarCraft, and it's way less stressful than playing ladder. And sometimes that's what you need, something a little less stressful. Speaking of stressful, we're going to talk about WCS. The World Championship Series is the premier StarCraft competitive circuit, and we did have WCS Spring come and go with Mexican Player Special making a very deep run into the tournament, getting to the grand finals, and it looked so good, but he ran into the immovable object of Cyril, last year's BlizzCon and WCS winner. The first two games were really close. I definitely recommend checking those out if you want to see some good TVZ, especially with some Battlecruiser shenanigans. I always love these battlecruiser openings that we're seeing a lot from Terran now. They're able to control the map and really control how much aggression Zerg is able to get away with, especially early game. And the way Terran players are kind of trying to trip up Zerg players with the placement of the starport and placement of the fusion core so they don't know it's coming has been a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, in the end, Tenacity of Serral was just way too much for Special Overcome, and the Reign of Serral shows absolutely no signs of stopping. A 4-0 clean sweep to win WCS Spring. And now the question is becoming, can anyone in the world even stop Serral now? He's at the top of absolutely every competitive player's mind when it comes to competitive StarCraft these days. And so that's really the question when it comes to competitive StarCraft. Is anyone able to stop Serral? But if you're wanting a bit more special in your life, you really like seeing him playing WCS, don't worry. May 29th, it's a little bit early, 2:30 in the a.m. Pacific, but he'll be competing in a round of 16 of GSL and face-off against Protoss, Phenom, Trap, and the rest of the group featuring Impact and Hero. With GSL round 16 deep underway, that will be Group C on May 29th, 2:30 a.m. Pacific. Check your local listings, twitch.com/... I think it's GSL. twitch.tv/GSL. There we go. See, I can do this. I can talk through this. But yeah, GSL round 16 is underway, with two groups having been completed, Classic and Hurricane making out of Group A over Ragnarok and Fantasy, and Group B being completed with Parting and Sue over Gumiho and Deer. And if you're looking for some fun StarCraft to watch, I'd highly recommend checking out the series with Parting playing, as he is back into form and showcasing some of the best micro in the competitive StarCraft scene right now. He just is so good. One of my favorite players. It's good to see him back into form after so many years of kind of just struggling after winning GSLs back in the day. But yeah, he comes up with some really creative strategies. I won't spoil anything. If you guys do, go check out the VODs, but definitely check out Parting versus Gumiho. That was my favorite series of the night. Transitioning into something a little darker, something a little more hellish, one might say. Diablo Season 17 is deep underway, with the Legacy and Nightmares theme giving seasonal characters a giant boost in damage output and survivability at higher items level. Alongside Season 17, we did see Patch 2.6.5 with the plethora of quality of life changes and some welcome additions, with the biggest impact to extending the life of seasonal characters by adding Torment levels 14, 15, and 16. Gives you a bit more to work towards, a lot more efficient farming for keys and stuff like that at higher levels. And the addition of probably one of my favorite things is search functionality has been added to the stats. Unfortunately, this is only for PC players. Don't know if that'll be coming to console, but yeah, the PC Master Race players do get the awesomeness of being able to search that stat. And I'm surprised it took this long for Blizzard to do this, but they're incentivizing the completion of the season journey by giving the addition of these galactic wings for this season. If you complete that entire seasonal journey, which I've only done once, which is I think like two seasons ago, so season 15, it's a lot of work, even if you have some people to do it with, but it's a lot of work. It's really fun, it's really rewarding, and I really am looking forward to finally digging into this season soon. I haven't been able to touch it quite yet, but definitely going to be probably playing a wizard, and really excited to see about the future of Diablo. I think the demise of Diablo has been a little overstated by a lot of the community. I think there's still a lot of life in Diablo 3, as we see a lot of people streaming it right now. We see a lot of people playing it, and we do see these kind of ebbs and flows with Diablo as the seasons come and go. So I'm excited for it. I know a lot of people are. It's a good it sounds like a really good, exciting season right now, and definitely a lot of theory crafting because of the Legacy of Nightmares buff going out for all season characters. Speaking of buffs, though, we're not going to see too many of those in Hearthstone. They've got a significant amount of love lately with the release of the Dalaran Heist Sequel Player Adventure to go with the Rise of Shadows set. That released last month as the first new set in the Year of the Dragon. Each wing, besides the first one, which you get free. So we're going back to a bit of a different format for the single player experiences in Hearthstone. It harkens back to the Naxxramas days, where you had to purchase those wings with either gold or money. But there are going with the style of the most recent single player adventures, which is kind of just you get random people you have to fight against and you build a deck as you go through. And I think that's the way to go with these single player adventures. And because that allows everyone to be able to play them without having to worry about, oh, do I have the right cards? Do I have this legendary that makes it way easy to get through? And it really, I think, helps players explore the different decks, different cards and all that in a very positive way. So I'm really excited to see them step forward with this. I know some of the community, there's a bit of backlash from the community for it being a paid adventure this time around, but I think with the amount of content they're putting into this, as we're only on wing three right now of, I believe, four or five. Yeah, five. So, yeah, each wing besides free one, $7 or 700 gold, and the complete adventure available to you for $20. So you get a little bit of a discount there. But, yeah, we were talking about buffs and nerfs with the Diablo stuff. Well, Hearthstone kind of seeing the nerf sides of things, as we did see the Evil Miscreant having their health drop from 5 to 4, Raiding Party having its mana cost increased to 4 from 3, and Preparation only reducing the cost of your next spell by 2 down from 3. If you're familiar with Hearthstone, these are obviously all cards that are targeting the Rogue decks, which have been very strong lately, with also a 1 neutral legendary Archivist Elysiana being upped in cost to 9 mana, up from 8. So Hearthstone news, it's a pretty good amount of news for a week, I think. Heroes of the Storm, near and dear to my heart. We're starting off a little somber. I know, sadly, we know HGC has been canceled for 2019 for foreseeable future. But don't lose hope, my friends. The folks over at Heroes Hype, they started the NA and EU Premier Series with a guaranteed $10,000 prize pool for both regions per split. Definitely make sure to check that out if you've been missing out on High Level's Heroes action. Some of my friends are casting that event, and it is super cool to see this come out, especially from the community. And definitely check it out if you've been missing that HGC itch. It's not the same, but a lot of the same players are there, so it's kind of the same. a little bit more somber news. We also recently had what is, unfortunately, most likely, going to be the final big Heroes of the Storm collegiate event with the TESPA Collegiate Series. Rutgers University taking home the top prize, $500 in scholarship for everyone on the team, and a laptop for each player. Man, I wish I could have won a tournament to get a laptop for college. That would have been awesome. Series was really solid. Definitely worth checking out, if not for just the fact that this is one of the last times we might get to see Heroes on stage. There have been hints at stuff at BlizzCon, but we'll see. But in more cheerful news, we did have Anduin released a couple weeks ago, and he has been really fun. I definitely recommend him to any players who are looking to up their support game. And obviously, with that trade of his, pulling your allied heroes back, that's the pub game saver right there. We did see also an AMA recently with the Heroes developers, and the good news is they have a ton of backlog content that they have to work on to polish and to get to that level of completion. So there's still a lot of new content coming to Heroes of the Storm, just at a little bit of a slower pace than we're used to, and I think that's okay considering how mature the game is and how many heroes and maps we have in the game right now. And in an interesting bet that I took, the cynical side of me took the bet of Heroes of Storm not being playable at BlizzCon. They confirmed in the AMA that this is actually not the case. Heroes of Storm will be playable at BlizzCon, and so I lose that bet. I'll owe my friend a drink at BlizzCon for being wrong about that. And I'm glad to be wrong about that. I'm excited that we will still have Heroes in some form at BlizzCon because, like I said, it's very important game to me. And so I'm really looking forward to BlizzCon. Not that I wasn't before, but this is definitely another thing to look forward to besides seeing all my friends. New content will most likely be playable at the show, it sounds like, alongside other announcements for the game going forward, quality of life stuff. Definitely excited for that. As for myself and my game so far, we slipped back down to silver after climbing to gold 5, but I'm hopefully looking to play a little bit more Storm League this season. Try to team up with some friends instead of solo queuing, which I've been doing, just so I can have a little bit more fun this preseason. But yeah, draft mode Storm League is my absolute favorite way to play Heroes of the Storm. So I definitely recommend checking it out if you have some friends to hang out with for a couple hours and just play through some games. But we did leave the big daddy for last. There's a ton of news to talk about here, and I'm glad that Overwatch League is not starting until next week, because I do want to do a full preview of Stage 3. But Overwatch is busy lately, with the anniversary event dropping this past week alongside a patch that brought us the long-awaited workshop that was on the PTR for a little bit. And for everyone who logs in during this event, you get a loot box with a guaranteed legendary. So log in just for that, just in case you get one of the new awesome legendary skins, like the Gargoyle Winston, which is, wow, I didn't think that they would do something as incredible as that. That's definitely one of my favorites. But anniversary event is always one of those really anticipated ones every year for Overwatch players, because everything's in the game. It's like Smash Brothers. Everyone's here. You get events from all throughout the year. Do you miss Lucio Ball? Here's your chance to play some Lucio Ball. Did you miss out on the recent Overwatch Rising event? Here's your chance to play it. Did you miss out on May Snowball? Here's another chance to play through it. It's a really good rotation of maps going through there. And I got to play May, the Yeti versus May thing recently, and that was a ton of fun. But my favorite new thing, actually, let me backtrack, because I'm getting off of my notes here. We, with every new event being included as well, you get the skins included from all those events, which is really awesome. So if there's any skins you missed out from either the winter or the Halloween event, you can craft those. And I think they're available in boxes as well. And we are going to see, I think this might be new this year, but if you log into the Overwatch site, go over to the anniversary events page, you can see what skins you do have and what skins you don't have. So you can kind of, I don't know, save up some credits to get to craft them if you want. But yeah, talking about gameplay stuff, the workshop is really cool. And of all the new workshop games available, I haven't been able to play a whole ton, but they did throw these up into the rotation. I think they're permanently up there right now. Permanently in the sense that they're not rotating them out for a little bit at least. But two changes to the deathmatch system and how they do that. Hero Gauntlet, where players play through a predetermined set of 22 heroes, with the final one being Torbjorn, and you can only kill people with his hammer. So it makes that last kill just a little difficult. But that is really cool. And what the really interesting thing about it is, as soon as you get that kill, you shapeshift into the next hero on the playlist, and like instantly. So it's very interesting to get a chain of a couple kills back to back, because you're like, oh, I'm a different hero, I got to play a little bit differently. But it's been a lot of fun. And the other one is probably my favorite out of the two. But the mirror deathmatch, where everyone spawns as the same hero, and then it changes every few minutes. It's very cool. It goes through a couple cycles of that. And I think around after five cycles, one of the most fragged wins. But having it mirror matched makes the deathmatch a lot more fun to me, because everyone's on the same playing field then. And other heroes aren't. Nothing feels broken. You're just fighting in raw skill at that point. So I'm excited. Definitely check those out if you haven't yet. Tons of fun stuff to play in Overwatch this week. And for the next couple weeks, definitely. So definitely log in, get your free legendary crate, and check that out. I did mention Overwatch League just a little bit. They're enjoying a couple weeks off now. There was the All-Star festivities taking place last week. They were on Wednesday and Thursday. I don't understand why. We'll get into a little bit more about that. I guess they just didn't want to have it on the weekend. I was a little frustrated by that because, I don't know. But I like having Overwatch League on my weekends, and I'm missing it. So Stage 2 also ended with the rematch I think many, many fans were looking forward to, with San Francisco Shock taking it all over the Vancouver Titans 4-2 and taking their first ever stage title, only dropping three maps through the entire stage in playoffs, with those losses all coming in the playoffs, one to the Shanghai Dragons and two to the Vancouver Titans. That was a heck of a series. Anyone who's a fan of just esports in general should really check that out. Now, with no end in sight of the GOATS 3-3 meta, the health of the game is still a concern for the league, and the community is, of course, making their voice heard about this. I'm beginning to think it's a good thing for the league. It's becoming a much easier, less hectic product for casual fans to enjoy, along with the top and big brain players. The GOATS meta comes down to a lot more of strategy, positioning, and ultimate usage and tracking, instead of just pure mechanical skill. So I think that makes it a much more engaging game and a much more exciting game. And I personally have enjoyed the GOATS meta more and more as it goes on. During Stage 1, I was starting to get irritated with it, but I strongly believe that it shows in the quality of the matches we get at the tippy-top level between the likes of Titans and Shock. And with that, we're heading into Stage 3 as it kicks off next week on June... Not next week, but the week after, June 6th. And I'll have a big blowout preview of the teams for next week's episode, because there was some even bigger news that hit Friday night. And this is probably some of the biggest news that doesn't concern the game itself, but concerns Overwatch League, as the departure of commissioner of the league, Nate Nanzer, announced that he was leaving, and he stated this over Twitter, saying, "Hey, Overwatch League family, I wanted to share that soon I will be leaving Blizzard for a new opportunity. This has been the toughest decision of my life because it means I won't get to work with the best staff, players, teams, owners, partners, and fans in esports anymore. I can't emphasize enough how proud I am of what we've all accomplished together. It has been the honor of my life to have been part of the team and help build the league. I get way too much credit for the success of Overwatch League. It's been awesome to be our public face, but too many overestimate my role in making the league great. It isn't about me. It's never been. It's about all of you. That's why I'm confident the league is in great hands. I can't wait to see where the team takes the league in 2020 and beyond. And I'll be cheering right there alongside you every step of the way." So, that was his statement. We can look at this one of two ways. It's a healthy sign of the league that he's confident enough to leave the league as it is to pursue other opportunities and such. But before we get way too ahead of ourselves, at nearly the same time he made this announcement, ESPN broke the story that Nate Nanzer would be headed to nothing other than Epic Games to spearhead their esports initiatives with Fortnite and Rocket League, some of the biggest and most accessible games in esports today, with Fortnite really fumbling a lot of their attempts at making their game in esports so far. Nate Nanzer brings that experience of helping build an esports league with the eye on longevity in the future. And if your people are being actively targeted from a product you're producing, you know you're doing something right. And especially when Epic can throw some of that Fortnite money and talent, which they've shown not just here, but in building up the Epic Games Store and buying Psyonix, the creator of Rocket League. Now, let's put our thinking caps, our devil's advocate hats. We can look at this as a potential disaster for Overwatch League. Nate Nanzer leaves at an odd time, to say the least, between stage breaks, announcing this on a Friday night to try to basically bury the story, and when the league is preparing to go all in on localization for teams in 2020 in Season 3 of Overwatch League. We'll be seeing Shanghai play their home games in China. It's a really ambitious and awesome initiative, I think, for Overwatch League. But let's take a look at some of the missteps this year as far as Overwatch League is concerned, with the continued debacle of the Fanatics deal for the official merch. Not all the merch, but the official jerseys that are being sold, with even Kate Mitchell, the former general manager of Washington Justice, going as far as publicly calling them out in a now deleted tweet. The quality of the jerseys has just been always a question, and some of the merch is just like you question why some of this stuff is being made. Stuff about printing wrong, a lot of the iron-on stuff just not lasting through a couple wears on people, and you're not really getting the authentic jerseys that the teams themselves are fielding on stage. So there's that. Another concern, low in-person attendance has been an issue at the Burbank Big Blizzard Arena, at least for weeknights, which is shown in the way production changes on those nights, with teams being introduced coming out from the sides instead of the stage down the middle. And it's kind of a question, will this problem exacerbate itself when localized, or will the fans come out in force for their local teams? Which, to that point, we do see a significant increase in attendance whenever an LA team is playing, no matter the day. Gladiators fans and Valiant fans come out in force. But overall, the game is in a good spot. Numbers have been solid, and the loss of Nate Nanzer, while unfortunate, will, in the end, I think, not hurt Overwatch League too much. It takes an absolute village to make a production of this size, and I don't think we'll see any negative effects, at least initially. We'll have to wait and see what the future holds. With that, though, we are going to wrap things up and start to cast a Hearthstone into that home stretch. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey into my new venture of attempting to cover the world of Blizzard in any fashion. As a fan of basically everything Blizzard puts out, I like keeping myself up on the news, and I hope this show can help you do that as well. Before leaving, though, this is something I want to do at the end of the shows every week. I do want to highlight a few community shows if you're looking to dive a little deeper than what I can cover on the show. Here's a couple for you. For World of Warcraft, my absolute favorite content creators right now are Taliesin and Evatel, where they break down the nitty-gritty of World of Warcraft and get extremely nerdy about lore, and I love it, and it makes me happy. Find them at youtube.com/TaliesinEvatelDoGames. For Heroes of the Storm, we have a brand new show from Not Paradox, which is a content creator I just recently found out about. He is starting a show called What's the Plan? Breaking down moments in competitive heroes, as he's going to start breaking down some of the pivotal moments in that Heroes Hype series I talked about earlier in the Hero segment. Make sure to check that out, youtube.com/NotParadox. And for Diablo, as always, check out the West March Workshop, where Nineball Leviathan and friends will continue to break down Diablo builds and secrets until the end of time. Find the show at blizzpro.com. Click on Diablo, and you can find the latest episode there. We will continue to have shoutouts in the weeks to come from some of my other favorite content creators, but I would love to hear your feedback. Best way to do that, twitter.com/DJTyrant. And I would love to hear any questions you have that I might be able to answer for Blizzard games in general, or just comments about the show, how I can make it better, what you'd like me to cover, what you'd like to hear about, what you'd like to hear my opinion on, all of that. Just let me know on Twitter. New episodes of The Nexus are recorded live on twitch.tv/DJTyrant. And available the next day on youtube.com/DJTyrant, as well as your favorite audio podcast platforms. If you liked what you heard, let me know and tell your friends about the show. And that is the best way that it can grow. And we'll see you next week for another installment of The Nexus. Until next time, stay tight.